Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Krishna, with Lord Krishna. For the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. Purport. The conception of oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inferior to that of eternal service to the Lord, because Lord Krishna is more affectionate to devotees than to his personal self. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 68, the Lord clearly says, Sadhavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti naham tebhyo managapi. The devotees are my heart, and I am the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anyone but me. Similarly, I do not know anyone but my devotees. This is the intimate relationship between the Lord and His devotees. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing with our discussion on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Since this is the weekend, the glories of Advaita Acharya, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has been explaining how everybody considers himself to be a servant of Krishna, including all the Vishnu Tattva forms, starting with Baladev, what to speak of the demigods. So every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. And in the spiritual world, all the pure devotees of the Lord are imbued with this sense of servitude to Krishna. And then Kaviraj Goswami is describing the position of being a servant or a devotee of Krishna. Being a devotee of Krishna is actually greater than the position of being equal to Krishna. Krishna samata. Samata means equality. So the position of equality with Krishna, greater than that is the position of being a devotee, bhakta pada. Now this is a very, very deep and important statement. It is a very deep theological statement that being a devotee is greater than being equal to God. And why is that so? Atma hoite Krishner bhakta hoy premaspada. Because the devotees of the Lord are dearer to the Lord than the Lord is to himself. Atma hoite. Even more than himself, the devotees are dearer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say that there are many who want to become one with the Lord. They want to merge into his impersonal effulgence. They want to lose their individuality, and they think that becoming one with the Lord means becoming God. So those who want to become one with the Lord are actually not very intelligent, because they want to become great. But Srila Prabhupada says, the devotees are greater than those who become one with the Lord, because the devotional service is greater than the Lord. The position of the devotee is that the devotee becomes greater than God. The impersonalists, they want to become equal to God. But the devotees are more intelligent. They become greater than God. But of course, that is not the calculation of the devotee. The devotee doesn't think, I want to become greater than God, therefore I shall serve God. And that is not devotional service. In fact, that's the last thing the devotee wants. Or rather, he never wants it. It's not even the last thing. Because when you say it's the last thing he wants, that means he does want it. But he doesn't even think of it. Kaivalyam narakayate. It is something that is hellish. So the devotee can never even conceive of such a thing. Hanuman, as quoted in the Nectar of Devotion, says to Lord Ram, Bhava bandha chidetasya isprihayami namuktaye Bhavan prabhur aham dasa iti yatra vilupyate. Hanuman says to Lord Ram that I have no desire to attain salvation by merging into your oneness. By such salvation, the bonds of material existence are cut, and one can merge into your impersonal oneness, and one can become one with you. But Nasprihayami, I don't desire such things in life. Why is that? Because the sentiment that you are the Lord and I am the servant will be lost. So the devotee only wants to serve the Supreme Lord. Now we've all heard this saying, God is great. Every religion speaks about the greatness of God. But Srila Prabhupada says, God is great, that's true. But devotional service is greater than God. Because it is by the process of devotional service that Krishna becomes so attracted to the devotee that he surrenders himself to the complete control of his devotees. Such is the power of devotion that it binds the devotee and the Supreme Lord in this intense bond of love, in which there is a sense of oneness. But that oneness is oneness in love. It is not physical oneness. It is not a oneness where the devotee thinks that I am greater than God. There is a sense of superiority in Vrindavan, where Nanda Maharaj is thinking, or Mother Yashoda is thinking, that Krishna is my subordinate. Krishna is my child. And if I don't protect Krishna, then some harm may come to him. So this sense of greatness or being greater than Krishna is to be seen from the point of view of love. Not that one becomes God. So by love, one actually becomes greater than God. Even though the devotee doesn't want it. But Krishna is so obliged, so captured and controlled by that love, that he voluntarily submits himself to the control of the devotee and assumes a subordinate position. This is the greatness of devotional service. Varam deva moksham na mokshavadhim va na chanyam vrineham vareshadapiha idam teva purnath gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kimanyaihi. Every Kartik we chant the Damodarashtakam prayers. And sage Satyavrata is praying to the Lord that you are Varam Deva. You are the Lord who gives benedictions to everyone. All sorts of benedictions Krishna can give. Material benedictions, spiritual benedictions. You want money, Krishna can give. You want name and fame, Krishna can give. You want a big building, a big house, a big car, Krishna can give. You want to be the minister or the king, Krishna can make you one. You want to go to the heavenly planets, Krishna can give you. You want an iPod or an iPad, Krishna can give you. Krishna can give you whatever you like, he can even give you salvation. Moksha, merging into the oneness. So because he is Varadaraj, the king of all givers of benedictions. So Varam Deva Moksham na Moksha Vadhim Va, but I don't want any such material benedictions all the way up to Moksha. Moksha and Moksha Vadhim. Moksha means liberation or salvation. And Moksha Vadhim means all those benedictions up to the point of salvation, which means all these material benedictions. These paltry aspirations of this world can also be fulfilled by Krishna very easily. I don't want any of these things. Na cha anyam vrineham vareshadapiha. I have no such desire. Then what do I desire? I desire idam te vapurnatha gopala balam. O Gopal, I just want to see this beautiful form of yours in my heart. Constantly, and that is my only aspiration. He is not even speaking about all the ecstatic symptoms that I would like when I see you. No, he just wants to see the Lord, that's all. That is his complete perfection of life. Just imagine. What a unique aspiration to have. Sadame manasya virastam kimanyaihi. What need is there for any other kind of benediction? So this is the mood of a devotee. The devotee only wants to see the Supreme Lord, to serve the Supreme Lord in love. So this spirit of servitude to the Supreme Lord binds the Supreme Lord to him. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined 6 principal characteristics of devotional service. And the last one amongst these 6 characteristics, does anyone remember what it is? What is the 6th characteristic of devotional service? How many have done Bhakti Shastri here? Yes, Shri Krishna, not Karshini, Akarshini. Yes? One who is? Attracting Krishna. Yes. Shri Krishna, Akarshini. Akarshan means attraction. Akarshini means one who attracts. Akarshini indicates the feminine gender because bhakti is feminine. So, Shri Krishna, Akarshini. So bhakti is she who attracts Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is all attractive. He attracts everyone. But bhakti attracts even Krishna. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain that Srimati Radharani is the symbol of the highest degree of devotion to Krishna. And therefore, anyone aspiring to be a devotee must follow in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani. And devotees in Vrindavan take shelter of Srimati Radharani to achieve perfection in devotional service. Krishna's name is Madan Mohan. Madan is Cupid, Kamadev, the god of amorous love of this world. But Krishna bewilders him. Many times the demigods have tried to bewilder great sages and sometimes incarnations of the Lord, like the Narayan Rishi in Badrika Ashram, as described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But it is the demigods actually who get bewildered. So Krishna bewilders even Kamadeva or Cupid, who bewilders everyone in this world. But Krishna, the bewilderer of Cupid, is himself bewildered by Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, one who bewilders the bewilderer of Cupid. So Srila Prabhupada says, devotional service, therefore, is not an ordinary material activity. It is a spiritual activity. Devotional service means to take shelter of Krishna's devotional or internal energy, Srimati Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to the verse, or speaks the verse, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah bhajantyananya manaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam. He says that those who are Mahatmas, great souls, they take shelter of the internal energy of the Lord. Daivim prakritim ashritah. Ashritah means to take shelter. Prakriti is nature, and Daivi means divine, internal. So the Mahatmas take shelter of the divine internal energy of the Lord. Bhajanti ananya manaso, and they worship the Lord with one pointed attention. Gyatva bhutadim avyayam, knowing him to be the supreme Lord of everyone. So devotional service, therefore, is to take shelter of this internal energy or Srimati Radharani. So this verse actually refers to Srimati Radharani, this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada goes on further in the Nectar of Devotion to explain how devotional service brings Krishna under his control. He cites two examples. The first example is of Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was conversing with Narad Muni, he was glorifying Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee of the Lord. And being a humble devotee, naturally Yudhishthir Maharaj felt himself very small compared to Prahlad. And Narad Muni wanted to assure Yudhishthir Maharaj that he wasn't really so small. He was actually a great devotee. That Yudhishthir Maharaj was so fortunate. It was fine that in his humility, Yudhishthir Maharaj was considering himself a very small devotee in front of Prahlad Maharaj. But Narad Muni wanted to tell Yudhishthir Maharaj that he was actually even greater than Prahlad. And why is that? He said, "My dear king, the Supreme Lord has covered himself from the eyes of everyone. He has come in the guise of a human being so that people don't recognize him as the Supreme Lord. But he has come in your midst and he's living with you constantly in your house as your cousin, as your friend, as your messenger and even your servant. So who can be more fortunate than you, O king? Because Krishna has come under your control. He is living with you constantly and performing various kinds of services for you." And the second example in this connection that Prabhupada gives is that of Arjuna. After Arjuna has been shown the universal form by Krishna, Arjuna is thoroughly awestruck by this vision of the universal form. Of course, that would bewilder anybody. And Arjuna says, Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktaha, He Krishna, He Yadava, He Sakheti. He says, my dear Krishna, now I have realized your glories. And up till now I didn't. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. Till now I didn't know your glories. But now that I have seen your universal form, oh, I am repenting on how I dealt with you. Out of some sense of friendship, thinking you to be my friend, Sakheti matva, Uktaha, I would call you, He Krishna, He Yadava, He Sakha, O my friend. I would address you like this. You know, out of some sense of madness or out of love, Pramada or Pranaya, out of love or madness I called you like this, but now I realized you are the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says, in other words, Krishna had come into the lives of the Pandavas as their very dear, intimate friend. He didn't come into their lives as God. So much was the love of the Pandavas that Krishna became controlled, and he was obliged to hide his godhood to just be their friend and their cousin and so on. So this quality is called Sri Krishna Akarshini, that one, when one reaches the platform of Prema Bhakti, the highest platform of love of God, then one actually captures Krishna. One attracts him so much that Krishna becomes completely captured. And this is actually something that is given only in the last stages of, in the highest stages of devotion, not before that. It is explained in the scriptures that Krishna may easily give you iPods and iPads when you ask for them. He may give you the latest car, he may give you all the material things you want. He may even give you liberation easily. But when it comes to pure devotion, to prema, then Krishna is very careful. Krishna doesn't give that so easily. Krishna is very careful before he gives anybody pure devotional service. Why is that? Because giving somebody prema means that Krishna is selling himself to his devotee. Krishna is coming under the control of that devotee completely. In a shop, a shopkeeper would be willing to sell all the goods he has in the shop. Yes? But if you ask a shopkeeper, I want to buy you, that's not going to be so easy. So devotional service is like that. But rendering devotional service, the devotee by virtue of his devotion is saying, Krishna, I want you. I don't want the goods in your shop. I don't want this heavenly planets, and I don't want even Brahmaloka. What to speak of the other lesser material benedictions? I only want you. So Krishna says, hold on, then I have to think really carefully before I give it to you. Krishna has many jewels in his treasury, but prema is the most priceless jewel that he has. And therefore he's very careful before he awards that to anyone. And he leaves that to the highest stage of our devotional service. Because it is only at that stage that Krishna comes completely under the control of his devotee. This is the nature of prema. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting this famous verse from the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is spoken by the Lord himself to Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a very powerful mystic yogi. He was a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. He one time came to the palace of Maharaj Ambarish, Ambarish Maharaj, as we all know, was a great devotee of Krishna. He was a pure devotee. And he was constantly absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. And Durvasa Muni was welcomed by Maharaj Ambarish. And then Durvasa Muni said, I'll just go and take my bath and come back, perform my afternoon, my Gayatri Mantra and everything, I'll be back. So it is the custom or the etiquette that when a guest comes, you serve him or her prasadam, welcome them with sweet words and so on, and you don't eat before they do. Now, it so happened that Maharaj Ambarish was undergoing a fast, a vow, and the time had come for him to break that fast. That was part of that vow. And if he didn't break it at that time, he would be breaking the vow. So he was really perplexed. What should I do now? Durvasa Muni is quite late in his return. So then he consulted with his ministers and advisors and so on. And they said, well, my dear king, you can take a little bit of charanamrita, a little bit of water. So it's as good as taking and not taking. So it's like breaking your fast. At the same time, you know, you're not breaking the etiquette of eating before your guest has eaten. So he did that. But Durvasa Muni, by his mystic powers, could understand what had happened. So he flew into a rage. They're not exactly the kind of guests you want in your house, you know. You know, you have to be very careful. Actually, calling guests into your house is a little tricky affair. It's actually very nice. It's a wonderful culture. It makes you feel very nice when you have guests in your house and you can feed them and send them back happy. But if you send them back unhappy, then that's not good. So, anyway, a guest like Durvasa Muni is tough to handle. But Ambarish Maharaj was handling him very nicely, but Durvasa Muni got very angry. He understood that he had taken a drop of water. So he said, you have broken your fast, you have, you know, eaten before me. So he was enraged and he plucked a hair from his head and dashed it to the ground, and a huge demon, an asura, Rakshasa was created from that by his mystic power. And this demon rushed towards Ambarish Maharaj to kill him. And Ambarish Maharaj didn't call the police, so he didn't call anybody else. You know, he just straight away, remembered Krishna. He continued to remember Krishna. So he was fearless. Now, as the demon was approaching Krishna, was approaching Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj didn't take any step to protect himself. But Krishna certainly took some steps. Krishna Sudarshan Chakra, his disc, flew off from his fingers towards his demon and completely incinerated him, burned the demon to ashes. Even as Durvasa Muni watched, the Sudarshan Chakra began to approach him, and Durvasa Muni fled. Well, that's the thing you do when the Sudarshan Chakra chases you. When it comes towards you, you don't stay there and welcome it. So Durvasa Muni fled. The heat of the Sudarshan Chakra was searing his back, scorching his back like anything. And he was running for life. He went everywhere in the universe. And when everyone saw that the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing Durvasa Muni, they didn't want anything to do with Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni came for shelter to all the demigods, and they said, sorry, sorry, don't come near us. We can't handle it, we can't deal with this. So he went on to Brahma. There was no response. Brahma said, please don't come here. Lord Shiva, he also said, I'm sorry, I can't handle this. Eventually he went to Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha. Even Lord Narayana threw up his hands. He said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And then he explained why. In these series of verses in the ninth canto, is very instructive for devotees. Aham bhakta parathino hi asvatantra ivadvija sadhvir krasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. Lord Narayan tells Durvasa Muni, aham bhakta paradhinaha. I am surrendered or under the control of my devotees, Durvasa Muni. So the first thing that Krishna tells Durvasa Muni is, I can't help you because I am under the control of my devotee. He asvatantra iva dvija. O dvija, O brahmana, I am asvatantra, not independent. Svatantra means independent. Asvatantra means the opposite. So ontologically, Krishna is a supremely independent absolute truth. But when it comes to the power of devotion, it even overrides that power. So Krishna said, I am not independent. Sadhubhir grastar hidayo. I am in the heart of the sadhus. The sadhus have captured my heart as well. Because they are devotees. What to speak of my devotees? I am under the control even of the devotees of my devotees. And my devotees, they have given up everything for me. They have given up material pleasures, material comforts. They don't even want liberation. So these qualities of my devotees attract them to me. And I don't even want to enjoy my transcendental opulences without my devotees. In other words, if there were no devotees in the spiritual world, Krishna would not even like to enjoy all his opulences there. And then he speaks another nice verse. He says, Vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satstriha satpatim yatha. The method of how the devotees bring Krishna under their control is brought out by the Lord by an analogy. Vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya. My devotees bring me under their control. In the same way, satstriya satpatim yatha, just like a chaste wife brings her husband under control by service and by love. Similarly, my devotees bring me under their control. And then he quotes this verse that Prabhupada has quoted here. It's a famous verse. Sadavo hridayam mahyam, sadunam hridayam tvaham. Mad anyatena jananti tebhyo magmana managapi. He says, I am in the heart of my devotee. The devotees are in my heart. I know no one but my devotees. My devotees know no one but me. This is a reciprocal relationship between the devotees and Krishna. This is how Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. Such a glorious quality of the Lord. If Krishna can submit himself to the control of his devotees, it's not a bad idea if we also do that. What do you think? It's a good idea, isn't it? If it's good enough for Krishna to do, it's good enough for us to do. So if Krishna thinks it's worthwhile to become controlled by his devotees, why can't we? We are not better than Krishna, are we? If Krishna is willing to surrender to his devotees, why should we not surrender to devotees? It's a good idea. And that's actually the way to attain perfection. We cannot directly surrender to Krishna. We have to subordinate ourselves to the devotees of Krishna, and then Krishna is pleased. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?